The message I'm going to preach this morning is just a simple little title that I found in the Word of God, and it is, Sir, We Would See Jesus. I'll guarantee you this much, Brother Ralph. If Jesus stood up down there in front of the Supreme Court, they'd make the right decision. You say, why do you say that, preacher? Because when he's in the presence and he's in the midst, then men understand that his way is the only way. Amen. And he is holy. And we need to pray. Let's pray for our country and pray that I would sure be proud to be in a state, living in a state where we had taken a stand, amen, against what God said is an abomination. And let's pray. Take your Bibles this morning and turn over to the book of John, please. John chapter number 12. I've got a lot on the plate, so to speak, but I want to try to rake some of it off this morning, amen. I hope that you came hungry, and I hope that you came looking for a blessing from God. The Bible said here in John chapter number 12 and verse number, let me read this passage of Scripture so I'll get it in its context. Let's start with verse 12, John 12, 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him. And they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, he sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that those things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. I want to read that again. Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege to read the Word of God, the privilege to pray, the privilege to preach the Word of God. Give us ears, our Father, today to hear what the Holy Spirit would say unto us in this service. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless your people. I pray, God, that you'd clothe us in our calling, Lord. Give us good liberty, please, Lord. It's so much easier to preach when there's good liberty. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would give good liberty to preach the Word and to hear the Word this day. And Lord, I pray you'd work in our hearts. And God, I pray that when we leave here, we could all say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, I can understand that someone might show up on this scene and want to see Lazarus. He's the one that Jesus raised from the dead in John chapter number 11. I can understand how somebody might pull up and say, where is he? Where is that one that laid in that grave 4 days? And they said, surely by now he stinks. Where is that one? But you know, when they showed up, they didn't want to see the one on whom the miracle was performed. They wanted to see the one who performed the miracle. I want to say to you this morning that Jesus performed a miracle in my life. That's why I'm in the house of God today. He saved me by His grace. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's promised in the Word of God that one day He'll come again and I'll get to go be with Him. He's promised that I'll get to be like Him. I'll see Him like He is. Amen. I was thinking last night, I guess the Lord began to stir in my heart before the prayer meeting yesterday evening about this text. Sir, we would see Jesus. We come to church nowadays and we see all kinds of things. I mean, we see each other. We see the apparel that we wear. We see the preacher. We see the choir director. We see the building. God has blessed us with a wonderful choir. God has blessed us with a wonderful building. God has blessed us with a wonderful group of people. And I'll tell you this right now. If we meet Sunday after Sunday, amen, and we don't see Him, I believe we've missed the primary purpose, amen, in being here. I'll tell you, the Lord dealt in my heart, and I'm going to make it a matter of prayer. Lord, when I stand to preach, don't let them see me. Let them see Jesus. I believe if everybody in our choir would make it a matter of prayer and say, God, when we stand up there to sing, don't let them see us. Let them see Jesus. I believe if every Sunday school teacher would make it a matter of prayer and stand and teach the Word of God just like it is and say, Lord, don't let them boys see me. Don't let them girls see me. Let them see Jesus. I believe it would change that Sunday school class. Amen. I believe in all of my heart, if ever there's been a day, if ever there's been an hour when we need to see Him, it's in this day and hour that we live in. Amen. When we see Jesus, the Lord's given us five things. Don't get nervous. This will be an all-day sermon. What I mean by that is this morning and tonight. Amen. That'll help you. Amen. But I don't believe there'd be any way I could get through all of this morning. And so, folks that never come back on Sunday night are going to miss the best half of this message. But anyway, I hope you will reconsider. Maybe come back tonight, amen, and hear the rest of the story. Amen. The first thing I see in this text here, and sir, we would see Jesus. I see that when we see Jesus, we see the grace of God. You say, preacher, where did you get that in the chapter? I'm in chapter 11, 12, and a little bit of 13. As I look at these things, when the people saw Jesus, the first thing I see in John chapter number 12 here, when we see the grace of God, is John chapter 12, verse 32 and verse 33. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And this spake he, signifying of the death that he would die. We know that we need to lift him up in praise, and we know that we need to lift him up in our life, and we want others to see him. But here in the text, Jesus is talking about being lifted up on an old rugged cross, amen, to give his life for sinful men, amen. That's the part of the gospel, amen, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You say, Pastor, I don't understand why you would say that's seeing the grace of God when we see Jesus. Well, listen to what the Bible said in Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. The Bible said, crowned for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I'm telling you, when you see Jesus, you see the grace of God. I'm going to give you something, some lines in a song after a while that I looked up and read this morning. But I'll tell you, what you're looking at this morning is the grace of God. What I'm looking at this morning is the grace of God. You say, preacher, I'm not even saved. I'm still looking at the grace of God. It's the grace of God. You have an opportunity to hear the gospel and be saved. It's still the grace of God. When we see Jesus, we see the grace of God. What is grace? Grace, someone said in the acrostic, is God's riches at Christ's expense. Oh, beloved friend, this morning I am rich. Hallelujah. Are you saved? If you're saved, you're rich. Amen. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his trouble, and he made me a rich man. Amen. In the grace of God. Someone else said that grace is God's unmerited and undeserved favor towards sinners. I believe this, and towards saints. Hallelujah. Just because we got saved don't mean we begin to deserve His unmerited favor and His love. Amen. I thank God for grace, don't you? The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, beloved friend, if we see Jesus, we'll see the grace of God. Amen. It was grace in the beginning. It's grace on the journey. And by the grace of God, I'm going to make it home. Amen. I'm going to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Not for me only, but to all them that love His appearing. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul would travel. Paul would be shipwrecked. Paul would be beaten. Paul would be stoned. Paul would be let down outside the city. I'm telling you, Paul, my friend, did not have smooth sailing in his life. But what he was saying is, when you're looking at me, you're looking at the grace of God. It's by the grace of God I am what I am. I was in Knoxville, Tennessee years ago. I was asked to preach in a meeting. I can't remember the name of the church. It was in Oliver Springs. Community Baptist Church. That's the name of the church. I'll think maybe of the pastor's name in a little while. But anyway, I was asked to preach in that meeting, and the Lord let me use that text, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and just give my testimony. It was unusual for me to do such a thing. But I called the message. I read over in Exodus, and Moses said, Lord, who shall I tell them sent me? And God said, you just tell them I am. Amen. And so when I read that text right there, by the grace of God, I am what I am. My text that day and my title was this, by the grace of I am what I am. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I want you to know this morning, when we see Jesus, we're looking at the grace of God. No wonder they said, Philip, we showed up. We've come here. We don't want to see Lazarus. We want to see Jesus. Amen. We want to see Jesus. Ephesians said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, beloved, no wonder Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, he said, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. I believe Paul could have stood up. I mean, I believe he could have impressed the intellectual of that day, but it was never, Brother Gale, in his heart or in his mind. He said, I don't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men. I want it to stand in the power of God. He said, therefore, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, I want you to look. I want you to see Him. I don't want you to see me. I want you to see Him. And the Bible said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Oh, beloved friend, I never thought about this before. Listen to me carefully. Listen, I've never thought about this, but as I studied this time and read the Bible, that verse is over there in the end of Galatians chapter 6. Do you know how Galatians chapter 6 begins? Brethren, if any of you be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. I thought about this. Hallelujah. You want to know who gets saved? Them that see Jesus. You want to know who gets restored? Them that see Jesus. It's by the grace of God we got saved. And it's by the grace of God that we're still in this fight. And we've been restored time and time and time again down through the years. You can look at me like you've never been out of fellowship with God if you want to, but I know better. Say amen. I tell you, our hearts go on vacation sometimes, don't they? Amen. And the things of God do not carry their proper place in our lives. Oh, beloved friend, thank God, sir, we would see Jesus. When we see Jesus, we see the grace of God. Secondly, in the message today, when we see Jesus, we see the guilty before God. Look in this chapter with me for just a moment. There's three things here that I want you to see. First thing I want you to see is Judas is guilty. When we see Jesus, we see the guilty before God. In John chapter number 12 and verse number 4, I'm going to preach on this tonight, these first three verses, but I'm taking it in the order that God gave it to me. I'm talking about Judas right now. Mary had taken that pound of ointment, and she had broken that alabaster box, and she had anointed the feet of Jesus. She had wiped His feet. Oh, I tell you, you better come back tonight. It's going to get sweet. Amen. But listen what happens when she does that. Just as sure as one of God's youngins begins to worship, just as sure as one of God's youngins, listen, the world would say, let it all hang out. Amen. Begin to worship and praise God. Just as sure as one of God's youngins starts giving God their best, not their leftovers. Just as sure as one of God's youngins just stops caring what anybody else thinks. Amen. If it's time to praise Him, praise Him. If it's time to pray, pray. If it's time, my friend, to worship, just worship. Just as sure as that happens, there'll be a Judas. There'll be somebody standing around that objects. Amen. Let me just say this. If no one is objecting to your life, why don't you start living for God? Because if you'll start living for God, somebody will object. Say amen right there. They objected to Jesus. They objected to Paul. They objected to John. They objected to Isaiah. They objected to Jeremiah. They objected to Moses. They've objected to everybody that's ever lived for God. Watch this now. Judas said, this Simon's son in verse 4, which should betray him, why was not the ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Watch this now. Jesus, boy, Jesus is looking right down inside of him. Listen to me carefully. He's looking right down inside of you and I this morning too. Jesus is not impressed with the external. Jesus is looking right down on the inside. Watch what He said here. Why was this ointment not sold? You know, the average person would have said, you know, Judas, I think you got a good point there. I mean, listen, that's just a waste. Can I tell you something right now? That's what the devil's telling God's youngins today. You're just wasting your time giving your best to God. You're just wasting your time being faithful to that church and being faithful to your Bible and being faithful to pray and being faithful to use your talent for the glory of God. Hannah, if He hadn't already whispered it, He will. You're just wasting your time. I'll tell you, when you worship and serve Him, you're never wasting your time. Watch what He said. The Bible said here, why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, watch this, but because he was a thief. And let me tell you something right now. Listen, I'm going to say this across the board, and I'll stand on it. Anybody that's objecting to God's people worshiping and praising the Lord and giving God their all, there's a deep problem down inside of them. Amen. They may not be a thief, but they may be a thief. Say amen. They may not be a thief, but my friend, they may be lost without God. The lost never has understood why God's people want to worship and praise Him. The Bible said this, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and he bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. She understood, Brother Rose, more than the disciples understood. As far as I can understand, she's the only one that understood Christ is headed for Calvary. Amen. The first one we see that's guilty is Judas. Then the Jews are guilty. Look in verse 37 of the chapter. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. The Bible said in John chapter 1, he came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Nationally, if you'll read the chapter, I don't have time to go into all of it right now, but individually some of these Jews were being saved. But nationally they were blinded. Nationally they had rejected the Son of God. The Jews are guilty. Judas is guilty. Then we see the judgment on the guilty. Look at chapter 12, verse 44. The Bible said, "And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." Boy, when you see Jesus, you're going to see the guilty before God. The Bible said here, he said, "I'm the light of the world, and that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." I'll tell you, if you ever get saved, you'll stop walking in darkness. Amen. You'll stop. Amen. The Bible said, "If any man hear my words and believe not," he said, "I don't judge him. I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." You say, "Preacher, I don't understand that." The world was already under judgment when he got here. "He that believeth not is condemned already." That's what the Bible said. But watch this. He said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day." You say, "Preacher, I don't understand how that applies." Well, let me give it to you. According to Romans chapter 3, we're all guilty. As it is written, "There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Let me say this. You've never met God apart from first meeting guilt. You had to be good and guilty before you could get good and saved. Amen. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I believe with all of my heart, Judas is guilty. The Jews are guilty. There's judgment on the guilty. And the whole world is guilty before God. There's only one way to escape that guilt, to escape that condemnation. No wonder they came to Philip and said, "We don't want to see Lazarus. We want to see Jesus." We would see Jesus. When we see Jesus, we see the grace of God. When we see Jesus, my friend, we see the guilty before God. The Bible tells us that we can look to Jesus. God's children need to see Jesus just, my friend, like sinners need to see Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah's skating right along. I believe he was just like a lot of preachers in our day. He could tell you what was wrong with America. He could tell you what was wrong with Supreme Court. He could tell you what was wrong with the White House. He could even tell you what was wrong in God's house. But I'll tell you, when God got finished with Isaiah in chapter 6, he was no longer talking about what's wrong out there. He was talking about what's wrong in here. He said, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up." He said, "Down there, my friend, listen." He said, "I abhor myself." My friend, listen. He knew, my friend, just like Job did, that in the presence of God, he came short. You and I'll do the same thing. That's why we ought to spend much time in his presence. We would see Jesus. God's children need to see Jesus too. Isaiah said, "Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Job said, "I've heard of him by the hearing of the ear." But he said, "Now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes." We need to see Jesus. When we see Jesus, we see the guilty before God. The Bible tells us, as God's people, looking unto Jesus. And that's why we need to look, but we might get help that we need. Let me give you this, and I'm done this morning. The third thing in the message, when we see Jesus, we see the grace of God. When we see Jesus, we see the guilty before God. But when we see Jesus, I want you to stay with me in this chapter, these three chapters right here. I'm just getting a little bit out of 11, a little bit out of 13, trying to surround the text. Sir, we would see Jesus. What else do you see when you see Jesus? You see the goodness of God. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, we see the goodness of God. Let me give you three areas real quickly right here, a couple areas. But listen, the Bible said in chapter 13 and verse number 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I tell you, when you see him, you're looking at not only the grace of God, but you're looking at the goodness of God. The Word of God said that the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. Amen. The goodness of God is not a license to sin, whether you're talking about a sinner or a saint. The goodness of God, when it overwhelms our heart, ought to drive us to the Savior. Amen. And cause us to want to see him. The goodness of God, not only to Israel, but the goodness of God on the Gentiles as well. Turn back in John chapter 11, verse 46 for just a moment. These are texts that I'm telling you, they are very, very, very special and very deep. Amen. Listen to what the Word of God said in John 11, 46. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees, and they told them the things that Jesus had done. See, Martha and Mary are happy. Lazarus is alive. And just as sure as God's people are happy, there's somebody else going to be unhappy. And they went to the Pharisees, and they told what Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees, the council, and they said, what do we? In English, in Tennessee, we'd say, what are we going to do? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Now, buddy, that's power, isn't it? They knew if they left him alone, that all men would believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, he said unto them, you know nothing at all. Wow. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. I'm telling you, God is putting these words in this man's mouth. He's prophesying to this outfit. Watch this now. The Bible said here, and this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. How many believes Jesus died for that nation? There's not a doubt in my mind that he died for that nation. The goodness of God toward Israel. But what about us, the Gentile? Look at verse 52. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. He wasn't going to just die for the Jew. He was going to die for the sin of the whole world. I don't know about you, but right there when you see Jesus, you see the grace of God, and you see the goodness of God in that he even included us. Amen. I'm telling you, my friend, listen, God is a good God. God is a gracious God, and we need to see him in this generation that we live in. The Bible said then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Let me just say this. This will help you. All they were doing was fulfilling what God already said was going to take place. This will help you. It'll help you in this generation. You say, preacher, there's wickedness on every hand. It's just being fulfilled what God has said. Amen. Oh, yes, it's terrible. Oh, yes, it's terrible. Oh, yes, it's terrible to think that America may turn her back on Israel. Oh, yes, it's terrible that they're lining up on every side. But, oh, yes, it's a blessing just to know God knows the beginning from the end and has already told us that it's going to happen before the coming of the Son of Man for his own. Hallelujah. We see the goodness of God. Years ago, when I was pastor at Liberty Baptist Church in Churchill, Tennessee, there was a family came by, and I got to hear them sing a song this morning. I shouted over there in the camper. But I've not heard the family sing in a long time. I don't know if they've ever been to this church. If they have, I guarantee you'll remember right now. The Jody Brown Indian family. They ever come to this church? Anybody ever hear them? Anybody ever hear them? Yeah. Brother Ted, they got a touch of God on them, ain't they? Well, I was sitting wrong about right yonder at Liberty Baptist Church, and I'd never heard this song before. But the title of it was, "When You're Looking at Me, You're Looking at God's Grace." And I'll tell you, if you've ever heard the song, it's a blessing. I come unglued, Brother Ralph. I don't come unglued often, but I come unglued once in a while. Amen. I lost it. Amen. Thinking about the grace of God. You want to know why I lost it? I'll tell you why. Because they're a good-looking family. They can play the instruments. Amen. If you've ever heard them, I'm telling you, that girl can make that mandolin talk. Amen. And they got a guitar, and they got a bass guitar, and they got somebody on the piano. You say, "Preacher, why in the world did you come unglued? Was it because of how they looked? Was it because of how they sounded?" No, it was because, just for a moment, all I could see was Jesus. It was just Jesus, amen, that reached down and picked me up. Brother Ralph, the choir sang, "He lifted me out of the deep miry clay." And for a moment, all I could see was the one that gave his life for me. The song says this. I don't know what it would be like to be a singing preacher. But one day I will. We went up the other night and heard Brother Jared Dixon. And Brother Jeff said, "Preacher, he sings and he's skinny too. I reckon you really hate him." Amen. I hate singing preachers and skinny preachers. Amen. Hate them. Boy, God, I tell you, giving that young man a talent. Brother John said when we left, he said, "He'll be all right, preacher, if it don't go to his head." I said, "Brother John, he's got a good dad." I said, "I believe his dad will jerk a knot in his tail if it goes to his head." Amen. God's got his hand on the young man. Let me read you the words of this song that they sang in our church there at Liberty. "Take a look at my hands. There are no nail prints there. Take a look at my brow. No crown of thorns do I wear. Take a look at my back. No whip has ever left a trace. But when you're looking at me, you're looking at God's grace." When you're looking at me, you're looking at God's grace. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But God sent his Son to die in my place. And when you're looking at me, you're looking at God's grace. The second verse said, "Take a look at a man who was once condemned." Do you remember when you were condemned? "Take a look at a man who had no hope within." Do you remember when you had no hope? "Oh, but praise God, through Jesus, all my sins are erased. And when you're looking at me, you're looking at God's grace." I don't know about you this morning, but I say it's no wonder. No wonder that those in the Bible right here, the Bible said in verse number 20, "There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, a Galilean, desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" How's your desire this morning? I'm not trying to be ugly, but how do we expect to see him with our Bibles closed? Amen. If you want to see Jesus, open your Bible. How do we expect to see him if we don't pray? How do we expect to see him if we're not obedient to him? I was thinking about, I've tried to hush, but I'm going to make it a matter of prayer. God, don't let him see me. Let him see Jesus. Yeah. Thinking about the choir. Even people, Brother Justin and Sister Becky and others, have a wonderful talent to play an instrument. I believe they can pray, Lord, don't let them hear me. Let them hear Jesus. And I don't know how you all are, but when they just strike up one of these hymns, whether it's Mandy, whoever's playing, Laura, whoever's playing, when they strike up one of them hymns, even though I'm shaking hands, I'm telling you, I'm worshiping down in my heart, amen. I believe we need to see him. When we go out on visitation and we knock on doors, wouldn't it be good before we go, if we'd say, Lord, don't let them see us. Don't let them see our church. Don't let them see our pastor. Let them see Jesus. Just let them see Jesus. Brother Johnny, we're going to have a youth meeting. I've already begun to pray. God, don't let them see Brother Johnny. God, don't let them see Miss Eve. God, don't let them see Pastor. Oh, God, let them see Jesus. Let them see Jesus. That's the only thing that'll change them. That's the only thing that'll help them is to see Jesus. Oh, beloved friend. Brother John's sitting back there and he's got them two boys. And there was a little girl in here Wednesday night. Looks just like them, I think. Brother John, appreciate you praying for my grandchildren. But your grandchildren and my grandchildren need to see Jesus. What would be wrong with a papaw saying, oh God, let them see Jesus? What would be wrong with a daddy saying, oh God, let them see Jesus? What would be wrong with a mama saying, oh God, let them see Jesus? Miriam, when you go into that school, honey, and Jennifer, what would be wrong with saying, oh God, let them see Jesus? Let them see Jesus. I believe with all of my heart, some of us was able to get together and others have seen the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, I'd encourage you to see it. Sheffy, about that old preacher. We got together over in the fellowship hall and watched it. That was about my fifth time around. It's sweet every time I see it. But I believe one of the reasons, Brother Ralph, that man had such an impact in his generation is because they were able to see Jesus. Amen. Amen. Able to see Jesus. Able to see Jesus. I could think of a couple of scenes in the movie. One, the camp meeting's going on under the tabernacle. And he takes off and goes up on a hill to pray. You know what he might have been praying? Oh God, let him see Jesus. Oh God, they don't need to see me. They don't need to see the preacher. Oh God, let them see Jesus. If we would see him, we'll never be the same. We need to see him. Sir, we would see Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, across our land today, across our land, people are going to meet. I know, Lord, that many have already dismissed and in other time zones, they're just getting started. God, how we need to see Jesus. Lord, how we need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Lord, I believe our young people could take a stand in that school if they could just see Jesus. If they could just see the marks in his hands, the thorns in his brow, the welts on his back, the bruises on his face, the spittle running down through his plucked beard. They could just see the marks at his feet. They could just see. Lord, it would make it so much easier to stand. I pray this morning, our Father, help us to see Jesus. Lord, our men and our ladies at work on a job, Lord, I pray that they get so full of God that someone would see Jesus in their life. God, would you help us as a pastor? Lord, some way get so full of God that others would see Jesus. Lord, I know you're still in the miracle working business. Save that one today, Lord, that needs to be saved. Help them, dear God, to see Jesus, to see the grace of God, to see their guilt before God, to see the goodness of God, and may it lead them to repentance. May it lead them to a personal relationship with you. Lord, for the child of God that's here today, Lord, that's walking afar off like Peter did at one time, Lord, I pray you draw them near. Draw them near, Father.